The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
So we're talking about the signs of the times. And as we look around in our world, I think we can realize that things that are taking place in our world are different. We can see that it seems like there's a lot of chaos all over the world. Lots of wars. Lots of skirmishes, you know, turmoil. Even here in the United States, there's lots of people that are disturbed, upset, lots of protesting. And at the same time, it seems to me like they're saying peace, 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 peace and safety. That's what the scripture says that will happen in the last days. So the question is, and what we want to understand is that we want to look at, can we understand, can we discern some of the signs of the times that we're living in to recognize that, you know, our Lord is coming back. We know that. We believe that without a doubt, that He is returning. But are we getting closer to that time? That's what I want us to try to discern. Are we really, truly getting closer and closer to that time? And I believe that we can discern some of these things. And as I've said before, we look at the signs, we look at everything that is going on in our time, and we try to determine, are these particular signs, are they anything to do with the end times? And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll do a lot of speculating. Or we'll try to read into a situation that may not necessarily be a sign of the end time. It's just, it is a sign. There's a lot of signs out there. I read a little story about a boss this week that was, he was a little upset with his employees. He was an office manager, actually. And in their staff meeting, he said he was demanding that they would show him respect. He said, "I don't get any respect around here, and I want you to show me respect." So he went out and bought a sign. He hung his sign on his door. It said, "The Boss." That afternoon, everyone went to lunch, and when he came back, there was a note on his sign. It said, "Your wife called, and she wants her sign back." Signs don't always mean a whole lot to us, do they? The truth is, there can be a sign, and people can think it means something when it really doesn't mean anything. But if we are going to be like the sons of Issachar and be wise enough to determine the signs of the times, we have to look at every sign and try to understand and determine whether this is something that God wants us to recognize as a sign of His soon coming, of the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they could read the signs of the weather. They could see, you know, red sky at night, sailor's delight. We can look at that. We can see, you know, red sky in the morning. We're going to take warning. It's a possible storm coming. You can read the signs of the weather. But they couldn't read the signs of the coming of the Messiah and what the Messiah would be doing because they didn't really interpret the Word of God the way God intended them to interpret it and understand it. According to an article in Charisma magazine, many pastors neglect the teaching of prophecy. Eschatology is what it's referred to. Because they've been taught that it's too hard to understand, and people don't want to hear it. I find both to be untrue. We're not going to understand all of it, but there are some things that we can understand, and we can read these signs of the times that we are in to understand what God wants us to know and to be prepared to live our life in such a way that we are prepared for whatever comes our way. You know, as believers in Jesus Christ, I think it's very important that we look at the things that's going on in our world, but not from a perspective of being fearful. We need to recognize that, you know, yes, God has promised He's going to take care of His own. He's promised He'll never leave or forsake us. So as we look at these things, we look at them and recognize, hey, this helps us to be able to share with other people, Jesus is coming back soon. And as believers, we should be living a certain lifestyle that glorifies the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, regardless of whether we think He's coming back today or not. Amen? So I don't want to use these things to motivate people to do right. I want to use these things for us to be wise in our discernment and to recognize that God is still on the throne and God is in control. Satan is the god of this world. That means the god of the world system. He is not the god of this whole creation. Our Lord, our God, controls everything. He allows the enemy to have certain parameters that he can operate in this world system, but our God is still in control. All you have to do is read the Old Testament and see that the enemy helped set up world kingdoms, but God was always in control of those world kingdoms. Babylon was a good example. Even though Babylon was set up and ruled most of the known world at that time, God still had His men in place, and God was in control of what took place. God is always in control. God is on your side. God is in control. Always know that He has everything in His hand. We don't have to fear. Nothing do we have to fear. So we want to look at and unravel some of these signs of our times. We're not going to get it all figured out, but you know, from my perspective, it's fun to try to look at it, understand it, see what's going on. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The RSV translation of Bibles translate rightly dividing as rightly handling God's word. So we are to study, we are to learn. One of the things about the book of Revelation, it tells us that there's a special blessing for reading and studying that book. So God wants us to know and understand prophecy. There are over 2,500 prophecies in the Bible. 2,000 of those have already been fulfilled. So we're looking at 500 more that need to be fulfilled. That's 27% of the Bible is prophecy. It's prophetic related. That's one in every four verses. So it must be pretty important, don't you think? God must believe that or must want His people to understand these prophetic teachings, not only to be able to understand what has happened in the past, because that is awesome how God's word has been right on. And I can tell you this, God's word will never, ever fail. It is perfect. It is absolute. And when we are told something in Scripture, we can count on it coming to pass. It's going to happen. The Bible teaches about a one world government. Someday that's going to happen. The Bible teaches us about the wars and rumors of wars, which we will talk eventually about. Those things are happening, and there's much more to happen. Things are taking place in these end times, I believe, without a doubt. Okay, some of the things that we want to look at this morning. Are we at the end of the age? That's the first question we're going to look at, and what are the signs we should look for? for the end of the age. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. We'll begin reading at verse 1 through 8 this morning. And then we'll have some other scripture that we'll pick up. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? As surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another, but shall not be thrown down." Now, we have to understand, there are some recreations of what the Temple Mount looked like during Jesus' time, but this was a magnificent edifice that had been built. It had been rebuilt. It had been added on by Herod. Herod was a great builder, and it was just incredible. It was a 40-acre complex for us, and I wish I had a picture of it, but I did not do that, a recreation of what it would have looked like. But it was an incredible place that all the Jewish people came to worship their God. So this thing for Jesus to stand in the temple court and say to his disciples, not one stone will be left of this building in the future, was very difficult for them to understand. First of all, they thought that because the temple was in Jerusalem, much of the teaching of their day, because it was such a spiritual place, the temple was there, the temple had been built as a dwelling place of God, God would never destroy the temple. Be careful what we believe. You know, there are some teachings that go around in the church that appear to be biblical that are not. So we just need to be really careful. And some of the things that I'm going to share with you in regards to understanding the signs of the times, realize that some of these things are just speculation. Sometimes we read into what the scripture is really saying or doesn't say in order to try to understand. It's okay to do some speculating, but recognize that that's all it is. It's not absolute scripture. So in their time, they thought, we're safe. The temple is here. God's going to protect his dwelling place. But God had other plans. And Jesus told them what was going to happen. It was a very important prophecy that he gave them. We'll look at that again in a little bit too. I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and take a look at that right at this time, because that's very important. In verse 2 that we were just talking about, what Jesus said to them about the Temple Mount, that was a prophecy that was going to take place very soon. In fact, about 40 years after the resurrection of Jesus, Titus, the general, Roman general, led his army against a rebellion in Jerusalem. He ravaged the city. He totally destroyed the temple, and not one stone was left upon another. A complete and total fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy. Jesus said this was going to happen. The Jewish people didn't believe it. However, the Christians did believe it. The Christians of that time believed that Jesus' prophecy would take place probably in their lifetime. Therefore, according to historical facts, not one Christian died in the destruction of Jerusalem. But over 1 million Jews died during that time. The Christians did not die because they had relocated to other areas expecting what Jesus said to come true, would come true, about the temple being completely destroyed and the city being ravaged. So prophecy is extremely important to us to try our best to understand it. It may save our physical lives. I know it'll save your spiritual life. Amen? Hallelujah. Is there anybody out there this morning? Hallelujah. I know I'm not that interesting that you're just so enthralled with things I'm saying, but I do think that it's very important that we be able to lay some of these foundations and understand how Bible prophecy is fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. All these 2,000 prophecies that I've already talked about have been fulfilled to the letter. It's incredible. The things that Daniel saw, many of those things, he didn't understand it, but we can look back in hindsight now and see that he prophesied the Babylon. He prophesied the Greeks. He prophesied all the coming kingdoms that would be set up on the face of the earth and the power that they would have. He prophesied the Romans coming. It was prophecy that was fulfilled to the letter. Isn't that incredible? God is good. Hallelujah. All the Romans, or all the Jews, were dispersed by the Romans. They were forbidden to return to Jerusalem in 70 AD. The Romans also, they did not want anybody, they didn't want the Jews particularly coming back to that area, so they sowed the ground, the soil in that area with salt to stop any vegetation from growing. In fact, in 1867, Mark Twain visited there, and here's what he said about the area. Are we having problems with any of the pictures or anything? There we go. He's a wild-looking character, isn't he? Mark Twain. Well, Mark Twain visited Israel, and this is what he said. He said, he described a desolate country. He said it was devoid of both vegetation and human population. A desolate country where soil is rich enough, but is given over wholly to weeds, a silent, mournful expanse of desolation. That's what he said about Jerusalem when he visited in 1867. So we know that the city was completely and totally destroyed historically. But we also know that the Jews had a prophecy that they would return, and they believed that. So it's really important that we pay attention to these prophecies. Let's look at verse 3 in Matthew chapter 24. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So Jesus is going to give them some things to look for the sign of his coming and the end of the age. The disciples ask him, what is going to happen? Now, it's really important that we look at this and we recognize that the destruction of the temple was included in the time of the end of the age. So what we're looking at is that the time of the end of the age has already been almost 2,000 years. So it's really important that we recognize that God's time frame is not our time frame. 1,000 years with the Lord is a day is 1,000 years. We cannot try to put everything into earthly time frame. We have to allow God to just do as God desires and things to happen the way God has put them in his timetable, not in ours. However, he has given us some things for us to understand in regards to timetables. We can see that these things are actually, you know, God tells us that certain things are going to happen based on earthly timetables. So we look at this and we see that Jesus included the destruction of the temple in 70 AD as part of the end of the age. Now, I know this for sure, that we have been in the end of the age since that period of time, because look with me and go back to Acts chapter 2. Or over to Acts, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 2. Verse 16, it says, and of course we recognize this is the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit was poured out and some incredible things happened. People even accused the disciples and those, the 120, of being drunk. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Everybody say with me, last days. Peter is saying this is a fulfillment of last days prophecy. Amen? So even when we start thinking of last day, I know our minds go directly to 7 years. We've been programmed to think this the last 7 years, the tribulation period, which we've coined it. Is the last days, but that's not true. We've been living in the last days since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And he goes on to say, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my manservants and my maidservants I will pour my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. We know that that's true in the last days. All this period of time leading up to where we are right now, since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, people, all they had to do was call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead. Confess with their mouth that he was their Lord and Savior, and you shall be saved. Hallelujah. That's awesome. And yet, it also says that some of the things that's going to happen, just like it happened on the day of Pentecost, your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. Amen. So is that how we decide whether you're young or old, whether you're seeing visions or dreams? Hallelujah. I don't know, but I know this. We are to expect dreams and visions. We are to expect prophecy. We are to expect signs and wonders. We're to expect the power of God to be working in these last days. Amen? The fulfillment of that scripture started on the day of Pentecost. It has not been completely fulfilled because the church has stopped believing that those things are to happen today. What's wrong with us? Do we not believe that our God is well able to accomplish the things that he said would take place? Peter is saying this is the beginning of the last days. We are living in the last days. Let's see these things happen among us. Let's see the power of God released in the lives of God's people so that these signs and wonders will take place. We've got to believe and walk in them. I know we struggle, we desire, we want it to happen, but these shall be the signs of the last days. And they should still be happening today in the church. Now, here's what I want you to understand. When we start thinking about the last of the last days, Jesus taught that the destruction of the temple, Peter said the last day started. with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we can know that these last days are happening now all around us. We are living in the last days. And if we believe that God's God's timetable of sevens has anything to do with the earth, then we can believe that we're getting pretty close to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Does that mean it's going to happen tomorrow? Probably not. As I read Scripture, there's some things that have to happen before Jesus actually comes to the earth. Those who believe in the rapture before the tribulation believe that Jesus is going to come back, and it's an imminent thing. It can happen immediately, right away. It can happen right now. It can happen at any time. It's imminent. That's according to those who believe in the rapture of the church prior to any tribulation, or what they refer to as the tribulation period's last 7 years upon the earth. There are others who believe. Now, there's several belief systems, and I got to tell you, I am not fixed on any of them. I want you to understand that I listen to all these Bible teachers. Many of them are absolutely convinced that they have the right answer. I am absolutely convinced that they do not have the right answer, completely and totally. Because there's good, godly people who believe in the rapture of the church prior to the last 7 years. There's good, godly people that believe in the rapture of the church in the middle and before the what Jesus called the Great Tribulation, the last 3 years when the abomination of desolation is set up. There's good, godly people who believe that the rapture of the church is going to take place at the end, almost at the complete end. There's people who believe in the rapture of the church during the before the wrath of God, because the Word of God says we have not been appointed to wrath. And they separate the wrath of God from tribulation. All right. So I think I've pretty much covered the four belief systems. And I really want you to understand that I try not to take a position on any of those, because in my personal study and listening and trying to understand from other people, I do not believe there's enough information given to us to be able to say, absolutely, this is the way it's going to happen. But listen, what does it matter if we're living our life in such a way that we're pleasing our living God? It really doesn't matter when these things are going to happen. What matters is that we have desired, and we live our life every day that as if He comes back right now, we know that He's going to point to us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we look for. Amen? All right. So, here's what I want to share with you. Some of this is speculation. We're reading into it. But I want to lay it out as a possibility. We know that God, in the beginning, God created 7 days, a week. And then at the end of that week, God rested. And God established in the nation of Israel, man shall work 6 days and rest on the seventh. He gave them a Sabbath. We also know that God, in the Scripture, that God not only gave them every 7 day Sabbath, He gave them a 7 year Sabbath. Every 7 years, the land was to rest. The people were to rest. Their animals were to rest. They were to forgive debts. And they were to, there was one other point that I wanted to make in regards to that. They were to forgive forgive debts. Also, if they had any Hebrew slaves, they were to release those slaves. Okay, so it was a Sabbath, a seven-year cycle. Seven-day cycle, seven-year cycle. God also established a seven times seven cycle, a 50 or a 49-year cycle. And on the 49th year, going into the 50 year, it was called the year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. And the year of Jubilee was a great time of excitement, a great time of worship, a great time of celebration, because not only were the slaves released, not only were the debts released from people who were indebted, also on that 50 years, any land that had been sold by the Hebrews was to revert back to the original family members. The year of Jubilee. Now, I will say this, there are those who believe that took place in our past in regards to Jerusalem in 1948. We'll get into a little bit of that. There are those also that believe that we are approaching a 50-year Jubilee cycle, that something may happen during that period of time. But here's what I want to point out in regards to this. And that is that if this seven-year cycle is God's cycle, not only in weeks, years, extended year periods, could it be that it is also thousands of year cycle? Could it be that God has established this earth, and I truly believe that from the time of the fall until now, until this time frame, we are approaching the end of a 6,000-year period of time? Could it be that at the end of that 6,000 period of time, God's timetable, then this 1,000-year reign, the rest upon the earth, will take place with Jesus Christ coming back to the face of this earth? If that is true, we can read the signs of the times and some of the other things that we're going to be looking at in regards to this prophecy and these prophecies, and recognize that God's time frame for this earth could very well be winding down. So, what are the signs that we should be looking for? Jesus gives us. Go back to Matthew. We're not going to read those this morning completely. Matthew chapter 24. What I'm about to share with you, I want you to understand, is not completely clear in the Scripture, but many Bible scholars believe that that's what Jesus was referring to. What am I talking about? Well, first of all, Jesus gives us a list of things that we should look for before the end of the age. His disciples actually ask him, what will be some of the signs of the end of the age? And then Jesus goes on to tell them. And when we start thinking of when we start talking about the end of the world, you got to understand we need to be careful with our terminology, because when you say end of the world, you know, people who are not versed in the Bible, they start thinking of things like. I'm not seeing the movie Armageddon, but I've just seen clips of it. And it, you know, just looks like total and complete destruction. The earth is completely destroyed. You know, there's always been all kinds of talk about meteorites coming and destroying the earth. People are concerned these days in the world that the end is coming. But when we as believers in Jesus Christ talk about the end, if we say the end of the world, we don't actually mean that the world is going to come to a complete and total end and destruction very soon. We mean the end of the age. We mean that the end of this age that we live in is going to no longer be under the subjection of the evil one. Under the subjection of man's rule, it is going to come to the place at the end of this age where Jesus Christ returns to this earth and he's going to set up his kingdom, the kingdom that was prophesied thousands of years ago. Jesus is going to come, set up his kingdom, and he's going to rule and reign. And guess what? We get to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. There will be total and complete peace on the face of the earth, something I don't know that the earth has ever seen since the fall of man. My goodness, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? When we start talking about the end of the age and looking for the signs, that's what I get excited about. When I start thinking, my, Jesus is coming. There's going to be total and complete peace on the face of the earth. It's going to be an incredible time for mankind. But it's not going to be total and absolute destruction. But man is going to come close to destroying the earth if it was not for the intervention of Almighty God. In fact, the scripture says that no flesh would be left if God didn't shorten the time. Time to the end. What exactly does that mean? He gives us a time frame. He shows us what all is going to take place. But then he says, you know, he's going to shorten the time to save the earth. Jesus is coming back soon. Hallelujah. So Jesus first depicts the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple within the time frame of the end. Now, skip over to verse 32, chapter 24, verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree when its branches has already come. Now, first of all, I guess I need to say, Jesus had just talked about the coming of the Son of Man, and now he's following up by teaching them, he's sharing something with them. Now learn this parable from the fig tree when its branches are already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Jesus is telling us that things are going to happen. Most Bible scholars, not all, but most Bible scholars believe that when Jesus was talking about the fig tree, that he was talking about the rebirth of Israel. Now, we know that Israel was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. The Jews were all dispersed all over the world. They lived in different parts of the world for over 1,800 years. And I want to tell you this. Never, ever in the history of mankind had a nation ever been completely destroyed, dispersed all over the nation, all over the world, and then brought back into its homeland and reborn as a nation. Many Bible scholars believe that Jesus was talking about the rebirth of Israel. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37. Turn over there with me real quick. We'll Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Okay, I was going to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to stop right there for time's sake. We know that he was speaking to Isaiah to speak to these dry bones. And I should read at least the last two verses here, verse 13 and 14. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Okay, so we know without a doubt that God was given Ezekiel a prophecy about the return of Israel being placed back in their homeland, that he was to speak to the dry bones. Even though those bones were dead, they were going to be revived and placed back in their homeland. We all know in hindsight now that miracle took place. The scripture is very clear in Isaiah 66:8. It says this, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth to one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. We now know that this is a scripture that is fulfilling the rebirth of Israel. Because on May the 14th, 1948, by way of a vote of General Assembly of the United Nations, David Ben-Gurion stood on the steps of the Tel Aviv Museum and proclaimed that Israel was now a nation. And poof, in one day, Israel became a nation. Incredible. The state of exactly the way the scripture said it was going to take place. Israel is born in one day. How can these things happen? Only by the hand of a living God. No nation has ever recovered from being totally and completely annihilated and then came back and became a nation again. God's moving in these last days. This is one of the signs that we can absolutely point to and say, this is a last day prophecy. Now, Jesus said to the people, or to his disciples, when he was talking about the fig tree, he said, this generation shall not pass away. And he's talking my way of thinking. Now, I want you all to understand, we're reading some things into this scripture. So let's be careful. But for my way of thinking, as I look at this scripture, it says the generation that sees this happen will be the last generation, the terminal generation. If you were born on May the 14th, 1948, you would see, according to the way I interpret this, you will see the end of the age. So how long is a generation? Well, we're not for sure, but we do know that according to Psalms 90, verse 10, it says this, the days of your life are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So this scripture says, and actually this was an utterance by Moses, a prayer of Moses. 70 to 80 years. In Genesis chapter 3, many interpret this as being a possibility for a generation. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. The interesting thing, as far as I can tell from medical science these days, they're saying that the lifespan of man today is somewhere between 80 and 120 years. That's it. Pretty interesting, isn't it, that we're in this time. We could be living in the time of the end of the age, somewhere between 80 to 120 years. All I'm saying to you this morning is, according to these things that we're trying to understand, the return of Jesus Christ could be very, very, very soon. Is that something to get excited about from the church perspective, from a Bible believer perspective? Absolutely. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, it's something to be afraid of. That you should fear. Because if you have a relationship with Him, things are going to be great. We're excited. We're looking forward to the return of Jesus. Praise God. And in these days that we live in right now, we live them to the fullest. I want to encourage you, live your life to the fullest. Love your family. Embrace your neighbors. Do everything you can to promote the kingdom of God. Do not fear the things that are coming up on this earth. Embrace the power of God in your life. Know that Jesus is coming back, but He's on your side. Amen. I tell you this, you know, that I listen to a lot of Bible teachers and Bible prophecies, teachers, and you know, one of the things that I think we spend way too much time on is we seem to be looking for the devil rather than looking for Jesus. We spend a lot of time as the church looking for the Antichrist. Who's the Antichrist? Who is he? Is he Donald Trump? Is he the Russian leader? Is he somebody in Europe? What's it matter, really? Is that who we really want to embrace? Let's look for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Antichrist doesn't matter. He's a figure that's going to come and go. But Jesus is going to live and reign forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Praise God.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.